Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey now.
Hey now.
And welcome back to the show where two childhood friends discuss their favourite childhood movies. I'm Emily Sandford.
And I'm Barney Lee. And whether it's iconic lines, musical moments, or just questionable outfit choices, the films we'll be talking about on our show are unique in their own way. And today we will be discussing Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Warning, this episode contains nostalgia and big love for smooching.
I'm afraid you are mistaken, sir.
Don't give me that. You've been smooching with everybody. Snuffy, Al, Leo, Lil Mo with the gimpy leg, Cheeks, Phony Bob, Cliff. Cliff!
He's not doing too well, is he? Had a heart attack on the spot.
As if his job can get harder. Serving all of these snobs at the plaza. He's just like, oh, great.
Great. After all that, I've been accused for smooching.
Although I'd kiss a guy called Snuffy. So, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, was released in 1992. So this film is as old as me.
Wow.
29 years old.
Gotcha.
I just realized I'm a year older.
Oh my gosh.
It was directed by Chris Columbus. Now, Chris, he's directed films like, well, obviously Home Alone 1 and the Harry Potter franchise.
Yes. Well, at least the first two.
Oh.
Then it gets a bit dark and mysterious.
Ooh. But yes, we can thank Chris for a lot of amazing films.
Absolutely. And it was written by John Hughes, who is like an 80s legend in the movie industry. Obviously, films like The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, and everything else.
Home Alone 1 was so popular, so they had to make Home Alone 2. 1 year after Kevin has been left at home and has had to defeat these horrible burglars, well, we love to hate them, Harry and Marv, he accidentally finds himself stranded in New York City, and Harry and Marv may be in New York. Well, they are in New York.
I mean, they're on the film poster, so.
Yeah. Do you know what I actually do love about the plaza? Is that they offer a Home Alone 2 Fun in New York package.
Break it down for me.
Okay, so you get to stay in a really nice suite that Kevin would have stayed in.
Yeah.
You get a limousine ride around New York City. So you're going to visit locations like the Empire State Building, the Rockefeller Center, Central Park, Carnegie Hall, and Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You get a large pizza.
I was going to say.
In the limousine.
Thank God.
And then when you come back to the hotel, you get like the room service and they give you a Home Alone sundae, which is 16 scoops of assorted ice cream, whipped cream, maraschino cherries, M&Ms, brownie bits, chocolate caramel and raspberry sauce.
That's a lot.
And this isn't listed on the website, but I hear that a pigeon flies to your window and serves you breakfast.
Hope you like worms.
Good morning.
Now, hold on. Back up a minute, because Kevin specifically has a line in the film where he asks for 3 scoops in a sundae. So where the hell are they getting 16 from?
I have no idea. To stay in this room or to do this experience, it's like £1,000 a night or something.
Oish.
So
do you get an inflatable clown in the bath? That's what I want to know.
We would have to call the plaza and find out.
Okay, let me call them now. Hello, this is Barney Lee, the podcast host. obviously, we reviewed Home Alone 1 in our last Christmas classic series. And obviously now we've watched Home Alone 2. And I've seen both of those many times over the years. I gotta be honest, I think I prefer the second one. I found it more entertaining. There was like so much more going on. It was funny.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the pranks are dialed up a notch in this film.
Funny you say that, because the American magazine Entertainment Weekly,
yeah,
they actually had a real medical doctor analyze what the real effects of the injuries to Harry and Marv would be. Bricks to the face, as Marv sadly experienced, would have caused at best brain damage and at worst death.
Oh my gosh.
Compare that to like, oh no, stepped on some broken baubles.
Five bricks to the face of revenge.
Literally, it wasn't even a clever trap. It was like, Kevin's just throwing bricks off the side. Like, move out of the way.
In the first film, he wasn't putting petrol in the toilet. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Hoping that would go on flame. So I know everything that happened to Marv is obviously fake. He doesn't actually get injured IRL.
Yeah.
But the scene when all the pigeons come flying at them,
yes,
in the park.
Yeah.
One actually flew into Daniel Stern's mouth. And he said it was like the worst situation to ever happen. All those pigeons were trained for like 12 weeks or something.
Shut up.
To be, you know, film ready.
Girl, I read it was like 300 pigeons.
I read they had their own dressing room. Hey, pigeons, what do you want on your rider? Bread. Mariah at the back wanted some bagels.
Bread. No, you're not supposed to feed birds bread. You're supposed to feed them seed. You know, as part of my 1 year anniversary present, my boyfriend bought me a liter bag of bird seed so that we could go to the local park and feed the pigeons.
What?
I'm not even joking, because it was like the greatest experience I think I've ever had. Just the power, you know?
Yeah.
Until you give that bag a rattle and suddenly they all come flying at your face and you're like, oh, this is how I die.
So shall we roll into the first category?
Yeah, like Marv on some pearl beads. Whoa! So let's kick off with best supporting character. I think we should throw back to a recurring character from the first movie. It is, of course, that poor iron statue that's at the front of the McAllister's house that keeps getting knocked over by the cars.
Yeah, doesn't have a credit in the film or speak, but is iconic in his own right.
Absolutely. So it gets hit by the airport transfer car. And honestly, you would think by the second movie, you would know, move it.
Literally, put it by the door, stop putting it in such an inconvenient place.
Or melt it down because it's ugly.
There's also the music teacher who falls off the piano.
Bless her. She's playing the piano and huge parts of the scenery on stage crush her. And if you watch in slow motion, you can tell that it's not a woman that's being knocked off. It's a man, because you can see he's got a 5 o'clock stubble shadow.
Really?
Yeah. We also have the French guy that's on the plane sitting next to Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin says to this guy on the plane, like, oh, have you ever been to Florida before? And this guy just responds in French. Some very clever person has translated what the French guy is saying back to Kevin.
Okay.
If you're interested.
I am.
What's that? I'm from France and I'm a tourist here. It's my first time coming to America. Do you know a good restaurant? Or maybe your parents know a good place? Why aren't you responding? You speak a bit of French, right? I do not speak English at all. Give me a bit of help at least. My name is Andre. What's your name? And at that point, Kevin just puts his headphones back on. We also have creepy cab driver. He's only in it for a minute. And I feel bad for the actor that was obviously cast to play this creepy driver. But hey, it's a paycheck, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Kevin like jumps in this taxi at night because he's walking down this lot of like weird people walking around the streets of New York. He gets in the taxi, shuts the door and goes, boy, it's scary out there. And then this taxi driver with a curious face turns around and goes, ain't much better in here, kid. And Kevin's like,
pedo driver. What the hell does he mean with that? Actually, there's one character who we don't see who I just think is iconic in his own right. Herbert Hoover.
Herbie. Herbie fully loaded.
Yes!
we have so many people DM our Instagram at Hey Now being like, oh my god, yes, Herbie Fully Loaded. Like, Barney, you have to review Herbie Fully Loaded. I've never seen this film, but in all of season one of the podcast, I was going on and on about it. So maybe if we get Lindsay on the show, then we can talk about Herbie. Yeah.
Then we'll definitely.
Yeah. That's the film she's most famous for, right?
Yeah. Parent what?
Yeah.
Herbert Hoover is basically, there's that line when Cedric, one of the concierge, he's like, you know, Herbert Hoover once stayed on this floor. The vacuum guy? No, the president. So for that reason, Herbert Hoover is iconic.
Yeah. Actually, on the subject of presidents in the plaza.
Oh.
I know. I almost didn't want to give him airtime, but we should maybe just give a shout out to the worst supporting character in Home Alone 2, Donald Trump.
Oh. Do people in the US know what Trump means? Throughout his whole presidency, I've wondered that.
Yeah.
The whole of the UK have just sat there and been like, your president is literally called Donald Fart.
Yeah.
And he might not even know. And it's fitting, sorry.
I mean, it absolutely is. So apparently a condition of filming in the real plaza, because they actually did film in the actual plaza because Donald Trump owned it, or he owned like the lobby or something. I don't know. His condition was that, oh, I want to be in the movie. And they were like, oh, fine. So I think they kind of had the idea that they would film his little cameo where Kevin asked him for directions in the hotel, and they would just cut it out of the film. But in a test screening with an audience, the audience all like clapped and cheered when Donald Trump came on screen, because obviously in 1992, he was just this like wacky tycoon and like people loved him. So they loved his cameo, and then the director Chris Columbus was like, okay, we'll keep it in. But now I feel like it should be taken out of all future broadcasts.
I know, see you later. So that's worst supporting character.
Of course, best supporting character has to be Pigeon Lady.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she's not even given a name, but I don't think you can get more iconic than Pigeon Lady.
She's Irish.
She's Irish. Is that right? Have you seen online that people think that Pigeon Lady was played by Piers Morgan? Honestly,
I wondered how he got into TV. I knew it.
Because isn't he like chummy with Donald Trump?
Is it?
Maybe that was his in.
Oh my
Maybe
god.
Maybe they met on set.
That's why he likes Trump, because he's got that affiliation. We knew it.
We knew it, honestly. Okay, Google Piers Morgan, Pigeon Lady, Home Alone, and you will see a side-by-side comparison. It is uncanny.
I know. If it's not Piers Morgan, it's Piers Morgan's mum. Bless her. She is actually really sweet. Like, what was her story? Why did she become homeless? She never kind of gives context into that. She just tells us that she was in love once.
She was like, yeah, I was in love, and she said she had a family, but then the guy broke her heart, and she was like, I'd rather live alone than like risk breaking my heart again. It's like, but
you'd rather live under a bridge and live with pigeons.
Yeah, what about your family? Yeah,
literally.
Like, surely you had a house. Where's that gone?
She's like, people in the street see me and try to ignore me. It's like, no shit, you've got 50 pigeons on you. And you've never heard of a shower. Do you know what I mean? They're not thinking, she looks approachable. I actually felt bad, you know, in the scene at the end as well, where he's like, oh, here, I got you this. Probably expecting him to be like, my dad's so rich, I've got you your own apartment or something.
And it's then a fucking tree ornament. She's like, I don't have a tree. Where am I hanging this?
On my ear?
One of the pigeons will try to have sex with it.
And also, this is a dove. Like, don't show this in front of the pigeon. Yeah. If it was a pigeon ornament, I'd be happy. But you've given me a turtle dove. And also, you're never going to see me again.
Like, literally, yeah. If we share the turtle doves, we're going to be friends forever. Literally, she died that night. Also, they were upgraded to that fucking massive suite. Like, put her up.
Yeah.
Give her a bed. Give her a shower.
Exactly.
Did you see that bath? Roll tub.
At least get her a bag of Hovis so those pigeons don't need to be eating grain all the time. Like, where's she getting the grain from? She's spending all her money on grain.
That's true.
Where's she earning her money?
Yeah. Blowies under the bridge.
With cab driver.
Ah!
We're delighted to say that our gift card and gift wrap collaboration with the amazing British illustrator Zoe Spry has done so well. We've designed some Christmas versions for you. So if you go to zoespry.com, that's Zoespry.com.
We've got Christmas cards, we've got notebooks that are perfect for stocking fillers, we've got Christmas wrapping paper. Honestly, this collection is incredible. Check it out now. Worldwide shipping, and if you're quick enough, it will get to you before Christmas. So enjoy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so now we're going on to most iconic outfits. This film is not short of a Christmas sweater, which, you know.
Thank goodness, it's all I asked for in a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a Fair Isle bobble hat. He's got his green duffel coat and those classic beige trousers. Mm-hmm. Oh, such a look.
Not very, like, show up at the plaza look, is it?
No, but you know sometimes when you're, like, so rich that you can dress like shit, but it's okay?
Who's rich that dresses like Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg?
Oh my god, Mark Zuckerberg, yeah.
He is literally Homer Simpson. He has all of the same outfits.
Yes.
He opens his wardrobe. It's just like grey t-shirt.
Grey t-shirt and a grey hoodie. Oh,
come on.
Yeah, well, you got to cover up that lizard skin somehow. Oh, he's a lizard, by the way.
Oh.
He's like fully a lizard.
I mean, the McAllisters, they dress up and look nice for the Christmas pageant, didn't they?
They did, and also, one particular McAllister, Fuller, I don't know if you noticed, but in the last scene where he wakes up on Christmas morning, and obviously, it's great because he's the only one in this huge double bed and all the other kids are sleeping on the floor because Fuller's still a bedwetter.
Mm.
And when he jumps up, you can see his pajama bottoms are a little bit wet.
Oh,
bless him, so cute.
He's drinking too late, that's his problem.
Literally, there are like 5 cans of Coke in the bed. Mate.
Oh my god, poor Fuller.
Now, it's not technically an outfit, but I did want to spotlight Kate McAllister style icon, because she looks a little bit different in the second one. She's had a little bit of a glow up. Well, I mean, I assume it's a glow up, but it's the 90s, so obviously it looks awful now. But at the time, she's got kind of like a shorter do, and the front of her hair, it's literally like a surfer wave.
Mm, it's funny you say that, because I feel like there's a lot of crimes in this film, and one of those crimes is that haircut.
It's just gotta be a 90s thing.
It is a 90s thing, definitely. We should mention Marv's double-sided sticky tape glove. Obviously, in this film, they rename themselves the Sticky Bandits.
Yes. Kind of ingenious.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally wraps a load of double-sided tape to one hand, and he just drops it in a charity donation bucket. And he picks out like a whole handful of quarters.
I know, but Harry's like, you come all the way to New York and you're going to steal like 14 cents?
Yeah.
And then he gets into shenanigans with that glove, because he just keeps getting stuck to people, and then he gets stuck to that woman in the street who like punches him in the face.
I love her. Oh god, she should have been best supporting character.
Oh yeah, that's true. Sassy.
Also, just Marv in general, in all the clothes that he picks up from other people, he actually kind of looks great. So he steals a pair of mittens, a scarf, there's a cowboy hat, I feel like. There were some earmuffs on the ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
And also he stole a beanie as well. So all that together, it's a look.
Yeah, Marv and Harry love a beanie.
They love a beanie.
Mm.
Especially one that can catch on fire.
Literally. Guys, if you ever want to leave New York and come to Shoreditch, you will fit right in. Carhartt beanie on arrival.
Truly.
Seriously. But we should award most iconic outfit to the beige coat. And I'm talking about the same beige coat as Pete McAllister's dad, you know, on the guy in the airport. Because that is the pure reason why the shenanigans happen in the first place.
Because Kevin's following another snazzily dressed guy.
Yeah, this is the problem when you buy your coat from Zara Man. You know, everyone's got it.
Everyone's got it. It was the beige coat, like a similar color scarf,
mm-hmm.
and kind of similar hair color.
Yeah.
And Kevin's like, oh yeah, that's there probably him.
Yeah. And you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When they run past each other, you're like, oh, no, this is going to happen.
The camera just stays on him a little bit too long. You're like, okay, this is someone I need to watch out for.
Yeah.
Classic. That, honestly, Kevin's dad has to go to jail for, like, he's just, after everything that happened in Home Alone 1, he's really going to let Kevin run behind everyone
like,
else?
A year later. On Christmas.
On Christmas!
I'd be like, you're going to wear those mittens with the string, and I'm going to wear one of them.
Yes.
And you're going to go right next to me.
Because Kevin's kind of running behind because he wants to put batteries in his tape recorder. It's like, Kevin, I will give you all the batteries you want once we're on the plane. Like, you don't need them while we're running through the terminal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know Kevin is kind of to blame, but also this dad. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. He's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. The parents are responsible. Even though he's a nightmare, they're responsible.
Yeah. But anyway, it's not about Kevin's dad.
It's about Kevin's dad's lookalikes, beige coat. Pretty iconic, I'd say.
Still fashionable today. I literally have that coat in my cupboard right now.
Oh my God.
I could get it out if I wanted to, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm getting old.
We're getting old, yeah.
I mean, we're the same age as this film.
Put us to bed.
Do you mean death?
No!
Put me to sleep.
Just not in Fuller's bed.
No.
So next, let's talk about best musical moment. And I think we should kick off with the New York City montage where Kevin first makes it into the city. We have All Alone on Christmas by Darlene Love playing, which is probably not Darlene Love's most iconic song. And confession, my favorite Christmas song of all time is Darlene Love. Christmas, snow's falling down, Christmas. So good.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Do you know what is actually a song from Home Alone 2 that you will recognize? That's not actually in the film itself, but it's the trailer for Home Alone 2.
Yes.
Deck the halls with Marv and Harry, fa la 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 la. Make their Christmas not so merry, fa la 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 la. Give them bricks and give them wrenches, fa la 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 la. Sorry. One more Christmas in the trenches, fa la 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 la. Toss some paint cans down to greet them, fa la 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 la. Send the toolbox down to meet them, fa la 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 la. Serve them nails for Christmas dinner, fa la 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 la. la 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 la. Kevin is declared the winner. Fa la 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 la.
Love it.
So good.
Now, I feel like this trailer was really misleading because it makes it feel like the entire film is just Kevin's traps with Hank. Who's Hank?
Ew. You just want to talk about Polar Express. So yeah. Tom Hank had to sneak in there somewhere.
Guys, petition, series 3 of Christmas Classics. Please let me talk about the Polar Express. Yeah, the trailer just makes it feel like the whole film is just like, oh, I'm going to get these criminals. And yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's like 20 minutes dedicated to just seeing these poor criminals just getting beaten to death by a range of traps. But there's a lot more to the film than just that. So I felt like the trailer kind of pigeonholed it.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
True. But you know that films are bad when they do all the good bits in the trailer. Just saying. That's like a rule, isn't it?
That's true.
You don't want to give too much away.
No.
Also, I'd seen this really funny YouTube video of these guys analysing Home Alone 2. And there's a moment where, you know the moment where Kevin's like, yikes, I did it again. When he gets to New York.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was like, yikes, I did it again. That's my favourite Britney song.
Yikes, I did it again. Pigeon got fed.
It didn't want bread. Oh, baby, baby.
Blowies under the bridge. Cotches in my eye.
I'm not that innocent.
Cuckoo. Pigeon jizz.
These guys also wrote, when I was younger and watched Home Alone and the subtitles were on, he thought when Buzz called him a shithead, he'd called him a shatheed.
Shatheed. Oh, that's so innocent.
Funny.
He is that innocent.
But we also have the song from Uncle Frank in the shower.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so Uncle Frank is in the shower and he sings a song called I'm the Heaviest Cat. I am the heaviest cat. The heaviest cat you ever did see. It happens after that really funny quote with Peter and Kevin. And Peter's like, hey, Kevin, you better go and put your tie on. We don't want to be late for the Christmas pageant. My tie is in the bathroom and I can't go in because Uncle Frank is taking a shower. He says that if I walked in there and saw him naked, I'd grow up never feeling like a real man. Like
what is he trying to say?
That he's got a big shalong.
Big shalong, and like he doesn't want his nephew to see.
Oh, see, you weren't at the bridge.
Look, I'm sorry, he's literally showering with the door open, and I've got the scene in front of me. The door is not locked, the door is open. He's inviting children in to watch him shower. I hate that uncle so much. He's the worst, but good singer.
Do you know who is a really good singer and I think should be our best musical moment?
Tell me.
Is the Christmas boy in the Christmas pageant. The caroler.
The Christmas boy.
He's a crown Christmas boy. Okay, he's a choir boy in the Christmas pageant.
Oh, that's right.
And he is standing on stage on a plinth behind Kevin.
That's
so
right.
He's next to Buzz. You know, like, it's the scene where Kevin does his Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, lit up like a star. You know, just something really cute.
Yeah.
Buzz is doing like the annoying thing with the candles, isn't he? He's like pretending to play the drums on Kevin's head.
Yeah. Which, I'm sorry, side note, it's not funny. Why? He's got the audience like cackling. Like, literally, like, rolling in the aisles. It's not funny.
I know, this is a cute solo. Are you crazy? Like, this is something that would, like, bring mums to tears. Like,
yeah.
Respect that. Do you know
literally,
I mean?
Putting the light, like, the candles behind Kevin's ears so you can see the light through. Like, it's not funny to begin with, but, like, they're just dying.
I know. So Kevin's got this cute little solo, and then once he's finished and he literally, like, pushes Buzz off the stage and gets so angry. We've got the boy at the back who goes, Christmas tree, my Christmas tree. Na, na, na. Whoa!
And he gets pushed off the bleacher seating just before everyone else falls off as well.
So for that reason, It has to be our best musical moment.
Because you'd always get people like that at school. Like, I don't know about your, like, school choir, but, like, you'd always get the people who thought they were the best singers and they would just, like, belt out whenever they had a chance to do a solo.
Every class has a Mariah. I'm sorry.
And if you can't think of who that person in your choir was, it's you.
Yeah.
You're that person.
Sorry to break it to you. All we don't want for Christmas is you. Okay, so now we're going into best quotes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So I'd love to start with our old friend Fuller. We have a couple amazing quotes relating to him. The first one is right at the beginning. You know, it happens in every Home Alone movie. There's that shot that's almost kind of like a time lapse of, like, all the kids and adults running up and down the stairs trying to pack. Like, oh, where's my sunblock? Where are the passports? Blah, blah, blah. Fuller walks past drinking a Coke and Uncle Frank walks past him and says, hey, easy on the fluids, pal. The rubber sheets are packed. Come on.
A year on, he should have grown out of this by now, surely.
You would have thought. Well, that's the conspiracy theory. People are saying that Fuller did grow out of it, but he still wets the bed because he's got a bit of a thing about it, almost like a fetish.
Oh.
Because the other scene is when Kevin's dad, after Kevin's refusing to apologize, says, Kevin, you walk out of here, you sleep on the third floor. And then Fuller, with a can of Coke, goes, yeah, with me.
Fuller's just really smart. And he's like, haha, I get the king bed if I go in it, suckers. Like, you think I'm going to pee? Like, done it once.
Yes. And he just pours a little bit into the bed.
Yeah, and he's like, here.
Fuller's smart, man.
Yeah, I like Fuller. It's always the guys in glasses. Smart.
I'm wearing glasses today.
I think we've got some really cute dialogue between Kevin and, like, the staff at the New York Plaza.
Yeah.
There's the bit where Cedric the bellman is like to Kevin, do you know how the TV works? I'm 10 years old. TV is my life. True.
Completely. If you're not getting your 8 hours a day, then what are you doing?
Seriously, I think I've seen every episode of Hey Arthur that's ever existed. Every day when you're walking down the street.
That's just Arthur.
Well, I call it Hey Arthur. Okay, Arthur, but you know what I mean.
Oh, you know why I see now? Because at the end it's like,
hey, DW.
Yeah.
Hey.
Whoa. Oh my God. Arthur is the choir boy.
He always has glasses.
Oh my God, conspiracy.
Choir boy is Arthur.
You never saw them in the same room.
Mainly because Arthur's a hamster. Or an aardvark, but he looks like a hamster.
Yeah, where's your nose? Where's your schnoz?
Aardvark's a crazy man. He's an aardvark without a nose.
Yeah.
No one talks about that.
Yeah.
Mr. Ratburn, he's got enough nose. He could give some to Arthur.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's another part where the waiter is serving Kevin ice cream.
Yeah, so the guy goes, two scoops, sir. Two? Make it three. I'm not driving. What's your favorite flavor? Or, like, brand, then flavor?
I'm going to say Haagen-Dazs.
Yes, correct.
And, oh, this, I actually really like chocolate ice cream.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do. Love it. I really do. But I think if you're going to have the Haagen-Dazs, probably like pralines and cream.
Right? Yes! Okay.
Rudy.
That's my favorite.
But my favorite ice cream flavor is pistachio.
Ooh, fancy.
There's another hotel bit. Tim Curry, the concierge, is like, and how are we this morning? Fine, is my transportation here? Out in front, sir, a limousine and a pizza.
The way he says pizza.
I know, and that's the only way I'm going to say pizza from now on.
Yes.
Pizza. It's the only way. And then also we have the moment where Cedric, bless him, presents Kevin's boxers to him. Your drawers, sir? Jeez, don't flash these babies around here. There could be girls on this floor. I was very careful, sir. Can't be too careful when it involves underwear. I understand.
What 10-year-old girl is interested in your underwear?
Like, literally, she's like, oh no, they don't have Snoopy on it. Like, yeah. Red flag.
Well done. Although I bet they were warm at the moment.
Oh, nice. There is nothing better than putting pajamas on the radiator. Talk to me. Fresh sheets, pajamas on the radiator, have a shower. Oh.
Bliss.
Bliss. So in that scene where obviously Kevin's living the best life with his dad's credit card, he's watching Angels with Even Filthier Souls,
which is the sequel of the kind of like 1930s black and white movie that we saw in the first film.
Yeah, exactly. Gangster Johnny is on TV and he's like, maybe I'm off my hinges, but I believe you. That's why I'm going to let you go. I'm going to give you to the count of three to get your lousy, lying, low down, four flushing carcass out of my door. One, two. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
There's like one at the end. Yeah. Like, she's dead.
She is fully dead. That was one for luck. Literally.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's time for sharing.
Exactly.
That's so good. There was another one when Kevin is initially checking in using his dad's credit card, and the woman, I think her name is like Miss Hester something.
Right.
And Kevin says to her, so my dad dropped me off here. He gave me his credit card and said, and whoever was checking people in to let me in the hotel room so I wouldn't get into mischief. And ma'am, sometimes I do get into mischief. And the woman just stares at him and then he goes, we all do. And the cutest, I don't even know.
So cute. When Kate arrives at the concierge desk, what kind of idiots do you have working here? The finest in New York.
That's amazing. And then also later in that scene, Kate is saying, well, I'm gonna go out, you know, and like walk around the streets to try and find him. And Tim Curry's character is like, madam, there are hundreds of parasites out there, armed to the teeth. Do bundle up, it's awfully cold outside.
She bitch slaps him and he deserves it.
She bitch slapped him till yesteryear.
Yeah. True, truly. Kevin also gets up and gets, when he's like making himself at home at the plaza, he goes to find the swimming pool, which wasn't actually filmed at the plaza. It was actually filmed in Chicago in a swimming pool.
That's right, because they don't have a pool at the plaza.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Why not?
You're a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
You should have the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Pool, sauna, and jacuzzi.
Mm-hmm. Although, I'll be honest, sauna and jacuzzi for me, too hot. I can't do it. No, I don't get it.
You need to go in one of those like cryotherapy rooms that are like really cold.
Yes. It's like minus 200 degrees. Yeah. And just go in for a minute.
And shiver. He kind of goes to the pool and he's like, would I bother anyone if I worked on my cannonballs? There's just this old guy like sitting in the pool and he's like, no. And he just cannonballs.
So good.
But I admire him for asking.
That's very nice. That's very polite of him. And then his trunks fall off as well. He's like, ah! Yeah.
So Harry and Marv, obviously, they're getting absolutely pranked. You better say every prayer you ever heard, kid. And Marv's like, I hope your parents got you a tombstone for Christmas.
Ooh, dark.
So dark.
That is really intense. Right,
I know. Fuck.
Merry Christmas, Kevin!
They fell through a hole in the floor.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. Say hi to Jeebus.
And then, obviously, there's that iconic bit too where they're climbing down the rope to try and get to Kevin.
Yes!
Harry, are you wearing aftershave?
That's not aftershave, Marv. That's kerosene. The rope is soaked in it.
Now, why would anyone want to soak a rope in kerosene? Merry Christmas! Go up! Go up!
They are professionals at being like pummeled. They do it so well. Their physical comedy is amazing. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating it. It's like 20 minutes of just trap after trap. But it's what the audience want. Give it to them. It's
so
insane.
Good. This is another Harry and Marv. You know, when they're walking up the stairs and they know that last year Kevin threw the paint cans at their face. So they're like, oh, we're not falling for it this time. So Harry's like, wait a minute. Don't you remember what happened last year? No. Watch this. Let's get him. Oh, he busted me right in the mouth, Marv. That's one. Don't worry, Harry. I'll get him. Oh, right in the schnoz.
The schnoz.
Schnoz is the only way to say no.
Yeah. Sorry. And a bit later on, both of their noses are like bent from when they at the toolbox kind of like bashes down the door, and there's that scene where they just like crick their nose back into place. It's so grim.
My poor schnoz.
My poor schnoz. This week I've had that feeling where I'm like, I really want my back clicked really well.
I'll click it.
Will you? When I was rewatching this, I was like, oh, I want what
I want
Marv is having. Yeah. I don't want to fall through a ceiling, but I want to feel that
that
prick.
Relief. I love clicking fingers.
How did you manage to do that?
It's so easy. You just
oh no,
push them
oh,
out.
No.
Honestly, once you're puff, you just can't stop. Am I right, Mom? On that note, we have to award best quote to Harry when him and Marv are talking to Kevin, who's on the top of that house that's being restored. Harry shouts out, "Sunny, yes? Nothing would thrill me more greatly than to shoot you." It's just so dark.
I love it.
I like cannot get over it. He's like, I literally want to put a bullet in your face.
It just went from 0 to 10 real quick. I'd be scared if I was Kevin. He hates his family, he wants to go anyway.
Yeah, honestly, like, fine. If it's not this, then something else. Yeah. I'll be going down that, like, rubbish chute. How is he climbing up that rubbish chute twice? Like, mate, you would not be able to do that.
No way. Now we're going on to our favourite part of the podcast, Can We Discuss? And we've got to start with how Kevin is going to need some serious therapy. 2 years in a row.
2 years. His family has learnt nothing. Straight from the beginning, it's like, you better apologise or you're going to sleep on the third floor. That literally happened in the first film.
Exactly.
Like, come on. And then Kate is like, well, be careful what you wish for. Maybe we'll be left alone on Christmas again this year. Like,
what the fuck is up with that attic? Like, literally magic happening. Yeah. Whatever he says happens to him. So, so bad. And also, if my dad was screaming, $976 on room service, I'd be like, well, I've just had to spend $976 on therapy for 9 sessions.
I'm sorry, but that tree and that amount of presents would have cost way more than $900. Like, we have at least balanced each other out.
I know. Well, that was actually Mr. Duncan who gave those.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have got those.
Oh, yeah, true.
Without Kevin.
Yeah, okay, that's true. And also, again, you've neglected him and he's in New York.
Yeah. And the parents don't really care as much this time round.
They literally don't care. He's one of these kids who's just going to be like, everyone outside of his family loves him. And then his family just has decided they hate him, basically.
Yeah, they're just not bothered at all.
Hate it. The other thing that I really wanted to discuss was the wet bandits arriving on the fish truck.
Yes, now that's never explained, is it?
No, like, how did they get there?
So they somehow got from Chicago prison to, like, the meatpacking district in New York City.
Yeah.
I would love to map out exactly how they did it.
Have you ever seen Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
I reckon they get into a riot, they fall into a sewer,
yeah,
go through the sewer and end up in the sea.
Okay.
And they get caught in a big fishing net. Pulled onto a boat.
Lifted on, yeah.
And then the fishermen are like, what are you guys doing in here? Oh, you caught us. They escape at the fish market with the tunas laying on ice or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they jump on a truck headed to a sushi restaurant.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I love it. Well done.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Speaking of New York, I want to just reference the New York montage at the beginning where Kevin's kind of going sightseeing. Mm. And I've mapped out all the different locations he goes to. Like, one shot he's in Midtown, the next shot he's in Chelsea. He is going all over New York in no particular order. Like, literally, from Chelsea, he walked to Chinatown, which is all the way in Lower Manhattan. And then he went to Battery Park at the southernmost part of the island. And then he's in Central Park. Like, what? Map out your route, Kevin. You can't just go swanning over everywhere you want. He must have been knackered.
He got his 10,000 steps and some.
And some.
We obviously have Duncan's toy store, and Kevin is going in there and he meets Mr. Duncan.
Yeah.
And Kevin decides, well, you know, I'm gonna give you some extra dollars for this children's hospital. And so Mr. Duncan is like, as an appreciation for your generosity, I'm gonna let you select an object from that tree that you can take home with you. And then Kevin's like, oh, you know, thank you. Mr. Duncan's like, take the turtle doves. Initially, you're like, oh, that's really sweet. He's got a recommendation. But then I'm also thinking, this is a big businessman, the worst selling ornament. He's like, we need to shift a few.
Kevin's like, take the turtle doves.
No one wants these.
Literally a dollar for two. Like, oh.
Do you know what I mean?
100%. It's like, really? So we have this really creepy inflatable clown that Kevin's kind of gifted at the beginning of the film from his grandma.
Mm.
And Kate says, you know, oh, you can use this in the pool. And obviously, oh, great. I'm going to play in the pool alone with this creepy inflatable clown. He then later uses it to put in the shower to make it look like his dad's in the shower and scare off the hotel concierge from like finding out that Kevin's in that room alone. If Kevin's bag was in Florida, because we see it on the carousel, all the kids pick it up and say, oh, Kevin's not here. Kevin's luggage is in Florida. So that means that Kevin was carrying the pool float in his hand luggage? Why would you want to put this creepy clown pool float in your hand luggage?
Yeah.
So weird.
What do kids really have to bring with them? Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
And there's actually an annoying part in this film where Mr. Duncan donates all of those gifts to Kevin and make sure they arrive at the plaza for his good deed.
Amazing.
And Buzz is like, Kevin gets to open the first present. A second later, he shouts, dig in.
Everyone's ripping into theirs.
I didn't even see what Kevin got.
I don't think he even opened it because he was like, oh, I'm going to give these turtle doves to this old pigeon lady.
No, she didn't want that. She wanted a car. And obviously, every Home Alone film, it seems that there's like a moral to the film, a life lesson. The nice moral of this film is like, a good deed erases a bad deed, which I think is quite lovely.
That is sweet.
I hope that we've erased a lot of bad deeds because we literally saved an old man's life the other day.
Literally saved an 85-year-old man on the street. Like, guys, this was crazy. This literally just happened.
So we're walking on the King's Road in London and this 85-year-old man has fallen in a flower bed going, help, you know, sort of thing.
Like, he's got enough energy to kind of like lift his arms, but he does not have the strength to actually sit up.
We lift him up and he's lost his bearings. Barney and I walk along the King's Road, linking arms, holding a shopping. Anyway, we got him to the station.
He nearly fell down the stairs to the platform.
If we hadn't have shouted to the guards, he would have fallen and I would have absolutely cried my eyes out because I felt like so protective of this guy. But anyway, we saved him. He's called Brian. He lives in Notting Hill. If that is your granddad, God bless him. I really hope he's okay.
Yeah, and for God's sake, tell him to subscribe and follow us on Instagram. You know, it's the least he could do. We saved his life twice. And I didn't get a turtle dove from him.
No. Oh, bless him.
Brian. This one's for you.
Yeah, well, I hope he has, like, grandkids. Imagine if they listened. Pretty cute, huh?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. You lovely animals.
So now we are on to the trivia round. Let's start off with a really, really easy one. Can you tell me where the family are traveling to this Christmas?
Florida.
Great plan, Harry.
Yes! Woo-hoo! The Sunshine State, although it actually wasn't.
Oh no, it was a rainy state.
Yeah.
It was an absolute state. What does Kevin think his grandma Penelope has sent him for the trip?
He thinks she's got him Donald Duck slippers.
Yes.
Great plan, Harry.
Honestly, queen of impressions. If you guys have listened to our recent animation series, Emily, week on week, has delivered the best impressions.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell me the name of the tape recorder that Kevin is using throughout the movie?
Is it like the eye camcorder or something? I'm not sure.
What kind of idiots do you have working here?
It's the Talk Boy. Oh. Fun fact, the Talk Boy wasn't a real gadget. Really? It was created specifically for this movie. But after the success of the film, some manufacturers actually started selling Talk Boys.
Wow.
So they were literally invented for this film and then they were like, oh, we can make these.
Wow.
So they released Talk Boys and they released a pink and purple version called Talk Girl.
It was the
90s.
It was the 90s. Okay, my question to you. What time is the Christmas pageant at St. Gerard's School?
7 p.m.
Yes.
Great plan, Harry.
Woohoo! Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree.
What colour tree did Kate McAllister suggest that Kevin could decorate when they were in Florida?
Was it a silver tree or like a palm tree?
Both are correct.
Are they?
Great plan, Harry.
She says, yeah, we can find a silver tree to decorate or a palm tree.
Interesting. So what is the name of Kevin's plan to catch Harry and Marv?
It was called Operation Ho Ho Ho.
Yes.
Great plan, Harry.
That's my operation on a night out.
Hey!
JK.
Oh. What animated movie was playing in the limo when Kevin was driving around town?
The Grinch.
Great plan, Harry.
Yes!
Yes!
With that really creepy smile.
Yeah, and then it like fades into the concierge like...
Yes!
Love it.
Tiny teeth, is it?
He had quite big teeth, actually.
Oh!
Oh.
I don't know.
Anyway, what time do Harry and Marv plan to steal from Duncan's toy chest?
Do you love a time question? Was it...
midnight?
It was.
Great plan, Harry.
Yay!
Ding dong.
My final question to you... how does Kevin get the police's attention in Central Park right at the end?
He sets fire to a firework?
Yes!
Great plan, Harry.
He lights some fireworks.
He sets a firework, yes. Yeah.
Sorry. My final question to you. What are the names of Kevin's aunt and uncle, you know, who own the house in New York and also who own a house in Paris?
Okay, Uncle Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Jemima.
What kind of idiots do you have working here?
Okay, you get half a point. It's Uncle Rob and Aunt Georgette.
Oh, Aunt Georgette. You know what? Not far off with Jemima. And I was obviously just thinking about the maple syrup. You want some more pancakes?
Yeah.
Always.
Always. Who says no?
Always and forever.
Yeah. Perfect. Home Alone 2.
I'm very happy to kind of close this Home Alone chapter because I would rather die than do Home Alone 3 and 4. Are you joking?
Barney would rather have a brick thrown at his face.
Yeah.
And he would rather fall through a floor.
Yeah. Into like green slime.
And then have like white paint put on him. And then also...
have a pigeon fly in my mouth.
And a stapler on his nose.
Christmas tree, my Christmas tree.
Thank you for listening to the pod. Yeah, thank you.
For real, thank you guys so much. If you haven't already, please check out our latest Christmas collaboration with Zoe Spry. We have Christmas cards akimbo, we have gift wrap, and we have these amazing notebooks that are the perfect stocking fillers. And oh my God, they are so affordable. So stock up while you can.
Who doesn't like an A6 sized gift card or notebook?
Perfect for your bag, for an A6 sized pouch that you just carry around.
This is an exclusive to England. Like, this is worldwide shipping.
Yes, can't go wrong.
No.
Honestly, guys, you will love it.
I know.
Check us out on Instagram.
Leave us a 5-star review. We'd be super, super grateful. And hopefully, this is the case usually, people discover us in the Christmas series. So be sure to hang around because we're going to be back to our normal film review antics for season 4. Season 4 will be happening in the new year. So exciting.
Very exciting.
So I think all we have to say now is Merry Christmas!
You filthy animal!
And a Happy New Year.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.